is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it, my friends. It's Free for All Friday, and a gorgeous Friday it is. We're doing something that, to my knowledge, has never been done before. I am currently standing on a boat that is owned by the Charlevoix County Sheriff's Department in the middle of Lake Charlevoix. It is a perfect morning. Here with me is my wife Ivy's here, of course, the executive producer of the program, and Chuck Vonder, the undersheriff for Charlevoix County. And I mean, talk about a picture perfect morning. It doesn't get much better. Mr. Vonder, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So we're looking at this boat, and Ivy and I are boat people, and we love this being out here. I mean, for wake skating, you wish you were out here wake skating right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's glassy. And
there's another one. A giant fish just jumped right. There's a second fish that's jumped in front of us on live radio. I mean, it looks like a salmon. The salmon shouldn't be here yet, but there it is. That was 20 feet from the boat. All right, Chuck. This is a fantastic place. Boyne City's growing. Charlevoix's growing. East Jordan has got it going on. A lot of success stories around here. First of all, tell me about these boats in Charlevoix County. We've got about a month left in summer. And, you know, how many man-hours spent out here on these lakes? Not just this one, but all the lakes in this area.
Well, for the sheriff's office, we have seven employees that run the waters, do the marine division. And it's probably, I'm doing the math quick in my head, I wasn't expecting that, probably 200 hours a month that we spend focused on certain patrols than as needed other ones. There's a lot of lakes here.
Oh, sure. And I asked you about this boat. I said, is this a search and rescue boat? And you said,
it's an everything boat. This boat does it all. It's this happens to be a Zodiac inflatable, which makes it really nice for our patrols, for our divers to go down, and if there has to be a search and rescue, to go get them as well.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, with a lot of tourists, you got a lot of things going on, people swimming and boating and different things. And most people, it's perfectly good. But every now and then, you have a little bit of a problem.
We do once in a while. The main focus for us out here in the lakes is safety. We understand and know that folks are here to have a good time. They're on vacation. The directive we give our Marine Division, though, is not to overlook the safety issues and to take enforcement as needed on those. So that's probably a good approach. We feel like it's the right approach, and it's been pretty successful. We haven't had, knock on wood, too many bad things happen all year.
Well, and we don't want to focus on that, but we just make you aware. There's four of these boats run by the Charlevoix County Sheriff's Department. But as you look around here, and you look at the development in Boyne City, in East Jordan, in the city of Charlevoix, and all over, it's a booming place, but it takes a lot of partners to make it all work. I know that's true, but tell me about a couple success stories around here.
Well, it, on your show, as I listen to you, like to talk about people that are making Michigan go, and I have a little interest in these companies that I'm going to talk about, because those are the folks that hire people that allow us to live here and do what we do. Sure. And we don't take that for granted. The first one I want to talk about is East Jordan. East Jordan Ironworks, now called EJ. A lot of folks may not know about them, but they're an international family-owned company since 1883. They have 500 employees here and 2,300 internationally, which is very impressive. That
since 1883.
Yes, sir. Family owned since 1883. The Malpas family is the owners. They're in Europe, Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific, along with four states in the United States.
That's pretty impressive. And I'm talking another big, beautiful boat come out of the dock this morning, coming across the lake. I mean, this is spectacular, live in the middle of Lake Charlevoix. You know, top that, boys and girls. Who else you got?
IMI Industrial Magnetics. They're a worldwide shipping company right here from Boyne City, Michigan, which is pretty impressive. Their goal is they pull metal contaminants from product flow. So if they're making sugar, if there's metal in that, they have magnets that pull it out. So the stuff that we consume is clean, which is pretty impressive. And they also use magnets to move large metal objects.
Ivy and I could have used that a couple of days ago. We couldn't figure out why the boat wouldn't start. Then we found that a little screw was missing off the ground wire off the starter, and we couldn't get it. We needed some magnetics to pull that out of there. Anyhow, go on.
Well, the next one I want to tell you about is kind of a neat story. It's classic instruments. And the reason it's a neat story for me is because the guy that owns it and runs it used to be a policeman in Boyne City. John's probably not 50 years old yet. He's been named the top 50 company in Michigan to watch. As a car guy, it's called Classic Instruments, and they make instrument gauges and clusters for folks. Some of his customers are Jay Leno, Gas Monkey, Metallica, Overhaul with Chip Fuse. So he's set up, and if you watch those shows, you'll see his banners on there, and it's right.
So, by the way, when you get that list of people like Jay Leno, Metallica, and so forth, when he talks to them, just get a hold of Ivy. Again, she's the executive producer of the program here. She'd love to book those guys right here on the show.
Well, I got John's number. We can certainly call John and try to arrange that. He's a great guy. I remember the day I was talking to him. He said he was going to leave the police department, and I said, "Have you lost your mind? This is a great job." And then, of course, he made the right decision because he's doing really, really, really well.
Well, you know, as I look around and I am taking time to enjoy Boyne City and Lake Charlevoix, which is the third largest lake in Michigan, not counting the Great Lakes, of course. Ivy and I and the kids have had just a spectacular summer vacation up here. And just memories for a lifetime, I think, for you and I.
Absolutely. And my family was here from Florida as well, and they just couldn't stop bragging about how incredible the water was, how clear it was, and how beautiful the landscape is. So they were, you know, just pleased, and so were we. So it's been an amazing time.
It has been an amazing summer. And so, Chuck, and we'll get back to some more of your friends here, but, you know, as you look around, obviously you grew up in Boyne City, and you've seen it change a little bit. Some people like change, some don't, but for us, I think it's a spectacular place, and it continues to evolve, if you will.
It does. I think most of the communities you'll find, of course, the three major ones on Lake Charlevoix are the ones we're talking about, Boyne City, Charlevoix, and East Jordan. And if you look at those, it does change, and there's growth, but it's a controlled change and a controlled growth. So it's a blend, because if you don't change, obviously, you forever stay the same, and nothing happens. So you can see in the towns that we're talking about that has happened if you've been here before. What I can tell you is between the locals and the visitors, it's a nice blend and a marriage, and you don't hear a lot about I want it this way or that way, because it's a controlled thing. A lot of input in all the towns from the local residents to make that happen.
See, when I was growing up, of course, Charlevoix was the place on Lake Charlevoix, and now Boyne City over the last 20 years or so has picked up the torch, and now it seems that the folks in East Jordan, from me watching, are picking up that same torch. And I mean, look at this resource that you have. This is an incredible piece of water. Ivy and I picked up perch and walleye and panfish yesterday on a little bite that was going on, and we didn't have to go far. And the fact of the matter is, you've got three beaches, great beaches, because they're Michigan beaches. I mean, they're beautiful sand, not too far from town, and one's right in town. You can bike here. It's totally safe, and that's what I come back to the safety thing, not just on the water, just this area in general. Totally safe for the kids, and we really love that.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I still live here. Probably shouldn't broadcast, but my keys are in my truck every night when I go to sleep. I mean, we just don't have a lot of major problems, which we're fortunate, and we like to call that home.
And not just summer activities. We're going to talk a little bit this hour about the other things going on here, because it's trail riding with the snow machines. There's ice fishing to be done. Now, ice fishing did scare the daylights out of Ivy's relatives from Florida. They said, you do what? You want a lake that's how what?
Yeah, it's frozen. You really want to scare them, come out here and watch the cars drive around on top of this thing.
Absolutely. Live from the middle of Lake Charlevoix on a free-for-all Friday, I'm Steve Gruber. This is The Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's 18 after on this free-for-all Friday. If you've got a comment, ring me up at 888-900-9966. Coming to you live from the center of the third largest lake in Michigan. It's true, I'm standing on the Charlevoix County Sheriff's boat in the middle of Lake Charlevoix. Now, what a gorgeous sunrise this morning, something that hasn't been done before. Technology is a beautiful thing, because I can come out here and spend time with Chuck Vondra and Ivy and enjoy the sunrise and watch the fish. I can also hook up with good guests like Liz Peek, one of our favorites, a regular here. She's a columnist from FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. And, you know, she joins us from time to time to talk about what's going on with everything out there. Of course, it's Obama's massive failure, according to her article in the Fiscal Times, that has delivered Donald Trump's success. If you've looked at the most recent polls, Donald Trump not only in the lead around the country, but in the lead here in Michigan with, I think, 20% of the vote. Liz Peek, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. I'm happy to join you.
Well, what a great day it is, and we appreciate you being on. And you say that it's Barack Obama's failure as a president, not only domestically, but in national security issues and foreign policy and all of these things that have led to the phenomenon of Donald Trump.
Well, I think people are angry, and I talk to an awful lot of people who are Trump supporters, and, you know, he really hasn't crafted a coherent political philosophy or policy or platform. He's just kind of full of anger, and I think that translates really well to people who are fed up. They're fed up with having unilateral actions by President Obama taken that are clearly not popular amongst most of the country, and, you know, there's just been a litany of lies and obfuscations and, again, executive actions taken, which really fly in the face of what most voters want. And I think that is really the issue. It's the majority of the country, a great many people, do not feel like this president is working on their behalf. And there, a lot of Republicans are also angry at establishment Republican leaders like Mitch McConnell and John Boehner because they feel like they've done nothing to stop him. And I think that's a bit of an unfair charge because it's not easy to confront a president unless you have a veto-proof majority in Congress, and particularly one who has relied so heavily on executive actions to get things done. So, you know, both left and right, I think you just have a lot of anger in the land.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this for the past many weeks here on the program, and that is, you know, the pundits, some of the pundits keep saying, well, Donald Trump said this, so that's going to be it, he's gone, and his numbers get stronger. Well, now he said this, and, you know, let's write him off now because that just won't, and his numbers get stronger. In Michigan, like I said, he's in number one in the polling right now. He's in, leading the pack. In second place, Carly Fiorina in Michigan with 15 percentage points. So Michigan's shaping up nicely for Carly post-debate, and she did a whale of a job. On the undercard, if you will, from the first debate, the only one that's going to survive, clearly, from the undercard. And she moves squarely into contention here in Michigan. Now, our primary here has been moved up to the first part of March. So Michigan, actually, for the voters here, is going to be good for us. But let's go back to the Trump phenomenon, if you will. Is it going to last, in your estimation?
Well, I don't think so. But as you have pointed out, nearly everyone who does what I do for a living doesn't think that he has staying power. But let's back up for a moment. What gives a candidate staying power in this time in our history? Largely it has to do with money, and heaven knows if he's willing to continue to see his business empire take a hit, and if he's willing to actually shell out a lot of his own money on staffing and on kind of the crossing T's and dotting I's that all candidates have to do, including the Donald, you know, he can stay in this race for a long time and be quite disruptive. And by that, I mean, you know, he has spent an awful lot of his time going after Republicans like Carly Fiorina and Rand Paul and, you know, you name it, Jeb Bush. He's launched into them. So is that really helpful for Republicans? I don't think so.
Well, I don't know, but I do see this. I mean, again, we I think you and I have touched on this, too. I don't know anybody who is enthusiastically supporting Jeb Bush. He keeps coming in second and third in different polls, but I'm
right.
Like, according to whom? Because I don't know. Rand Paul has certainly faded since his launch. Ted Cruz has come up a little bit. I don't believe Ted Cruz is electable. I think he's too caustic oftentimes. I think Rand Paul has not come off. He's come off as prickly. I don't think he's doing well. I don't think Mike Huckabee is electable. And I don't know. Liz, I look at this field of people. I mean, last time around in the cycle, Herman Cain was on top.
Yeah,
we know how
Michelle
that ended
Bachman.
Up. Right, and we know how those two ended up, and
yeah.
not in the running. You know, I still look at John Kasich did reasonably well. He's way up in New Hampshire, number two in the polls there. Is that going to make a difference in New Hampshire down the line that John Kasich has John Sununu, the number one name in politics in that state, on his side, on his team?
John Kasich is a very credible candidate. He's a governor. He's not 40 years old. He has executive experience, and as you point out, he's probably one of the more nationally less toxic Republicans, and that's coming out too negative, but when you talk about Ted Cruz, I agree with you. I don't think he is electable, and there is something about the way that man looks that just sort gives me the heebie-jeebies. He looks so demonic or something. I don't know. Anyway, but he is so combustible and sort of angry, too. I don't really think that's the way people are going to vote. There's been a lot of talk, as I'm sure you're aware, of a Kasich-Rubio ticket. And I have to say, I think it's a very appealing idea. You'd get two
I think it's
states.
A strong ticket.
Pardon?
I think it's a strong ticket.
Yeah,
you got Ohio and Florida.
Ticket. Rubio is such an attractive younger generation politician. Kasich, as I say, has his detractors, mainly from the far right. And by the way, they're not enamored with Marco Rubio either. But if those guys can kind of get through this thicket, and as you point out, oddly enough, what you really want right now is to be able to clone the best part of all these candidates into one super candidate. But, you know, they're not perfect. Each one has some flaw or past policy that's banging on them or whatever. I don't think Donald Trump is someone who is going to be electable either by Republicans in the nominating process. What he has is celebrity, and let's not underestimate the impact that is having right now. He can call
Absolutely.
Any radio station and get on air. That's big.
Liz Peek, always a pleasure on The Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show, jump-starting your day with the news that matters.
Welcome back on this Free-for-All Friday. This is part of the program brought to you in part by Consumers Mutual Insurance, a different kind of insurance company. Consumers Mutual Insurance, you know, when I went looking for an insurance company to, you know, to help out my family and something I was comfortable with, I chose Consumers Mutual through all the confusion. They're a different kind of insurance company. It's a co-op, so you have a stake in what goes on. Find out more at consumersmutual.org. Now, discussing insurance, the confusion of Obamacare is why so many people are, you know, they don't know what to expect anymore. Rates are going up. Rates are going up this year, and they're going up next year by all projections, and really going to jump in 2017. And all of these taxes and fees and confusion, well, we decided to get Dr. Aaron Yelowitz on the program. He's an adjunct scholar with the Cato Institute, and he even says there's some hidden taxes out there, and he says, thank you for smoking. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm in the middle of a lake right now, and it's a beautiful sunrise, to be honest with you. Tell me about this hidden tax. Thank You for Smoking was an interesting film that I saw a few years ago, but you say there's some hidden taxes out there. What are you referring to?
What I'm referring to is this, Steve. In Obamacare, you don't adjust health insurance premiums for much at all. But one of the ways in which people are penalized for life decisions is through smoking. In principle, you could raise premiums by up to 50% over those who don't smoke. What I did was I looked at 35 states and looked at the premiums for smokers and non-smokers in those states. And what I found was quite interesting. What I found was that in some states, the states hardly increase the premiums for smokers at all. For example, in Michigan, smokers pay about 5% or so more than non-smokers, which one might argue represents increased health risk. We know that smokers are unhealthier on average, and so one would expect slightly higher premiums. On the other hand, in other states, for example, Wyoming, the premiums were gigantically higher, for example, about 25% higher. So what I computed is that in some states, they're sneaking through what you might call a smoker's tax, where it's not related to their true health risk, but just punishing them for their choices. In a place like Wyoming, the number is something like $2 per pack.
But would you consider that appropriate, or what are you thinking?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So I guess the question is, imagine that you or I make a choice. Should we penalize you for that choice? The answer, as an economist, basically is, we should let people make the choices that they make, even if they're not what I personally would make. For example, if you want to jaywalk or if you want to eat pizza instead of broccoli, then that's your choice. The argument for why perhaps Wyoming should extra penalize smokers relative to other states would have to be an argument about something like secondhand smoke, which is that my action harms you. The evidence suggests that that kind of harm is already embedded in the excise taxes for cigarette smoking. So basically, we're just penalizing people for something that we don't like what they're doing, not because they're actually causing harm that they're not compensating others for.
Well, financially speaking, though, Doctor, I think it's fair to say, and I'll play devil's advocate here. We're on the line with Dr. Aaron Yelowitz with the Cato Institute. I'll play devil's advocate here. 500,000 people in America this year will die from smoking-related illnesses. 500,000 will die next year and the year after that. It costs this country billions of dollars in lost work productivity, and it costs the taxpayers billions of dollars in certainly with Obamacare now, taking care of people who have smoked. We're going to foot the bill for that in heart attacks and lung cancer and emphysema, and the list goes on and on and on. So wouldn't it be fair to say it would be appropriate for smokers to pay more?
And they do pay more. So I guess the question is this. Should premiums reflect the extra cost of smoking, or should it reflect both the extra cost of smoking and just some kind of punishment for making a choice that we don't like? So the kind
and
of
I understand your point, and I guess...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I think you make a valid point insofar as if you're going to tax smokers, why would you only single out that group? Because you mentioned, you know, eating pizza over broccoli. I mean, wouldn't it be appropriate then if you're 20% over the ideal weight or 50% over your ideal weight, or you're 100%, you're twice what you should weigh? That also has health ramifications. If you continue to drink and you have a problem with drinking, should you also be, you know, penalized financially, tax-wise for that? Because why just smokers, I think, is a more valid point from where I'm looking at it.
That's an interesting point, and I would speculate the reason why we punish smokers and not those who are overweight or obese is because turns out that about two-thirds of Americans are overweight or obese, and so you can imagine that politicians don't want to tackle that given the ire of so many voters, whereas smokers are about, I think, 18% of the adult population. So what we're doing is we're punishing a politically weak group.
Well, you know, and I have a note here from a smoker who chimed in. The problem with socialism is that now you're mad at me for doing something I was already doing on my own. Don't make me pay for diabetes treatment, and I won't complain about, you know, people that are overweight.
I think the insurance market to look at to kind of help shed light on this is life insurance. Life insurance, although government regulated, is far less regulated, obviously, than health insurance, which has undergone seismic changes. In life insurance, insurance companies look at all your health factors that would basically matter for mortality, and they price based on that. You and I as men would pay higher prices than a woman would at the same age because of the higher risk of dying at any given age for a man. So what an economist would typically say is let insurance markets work. They look at characteristics that are often choices and price based on that kind of risk, and then competition drives down premiums so that you're paying appropriate prices based on that risk.
Well, which is fair, Doctor, but in honesty, you know, when you've got insurance companies that are lining up to take tax dollars to make sure they made their profit proper amount of profit based on Obamacare, hey, the system's rigged to begin with. I'll give you the last thought.
So the one thing that I'll do to play devil's advocate on my own work is that if you think about it, how could you and I actually verify that we're a smoker or not? You have every incentive in these sorts of Obamacare schemes to lie and say that you're a non-smoker, because the worst that could happen to you is that we come back and we charge you the premiums we should have charged you in the first place. So the entire system seems really problematic with respect to smokers. So what we're actually doing is punishing honest smokers.
Well, and there you go. Dr. Agrail, appreciate your time. Great conversation, one we should continue sometime soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Dr. Aaron Yelowitz, adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. Now, if I had a song to play right now, I'd probably be The Love Boat, right? We've got we got Captain Chuck up there on the romantic cruise across Lake Charlevoix on a Friday morning, and he's looking good. I think he's been working out. I'm not kidding you. He's looking good. Ivy has a gleam in her eye because she's been seeing all these fish jump in the lake this morning as we're cruising. If you're just joining us, we're cruising across Lake Charlevoix, literally across Lake Charlevoix, live on the radio, watching the sunrise. The water is flat as glass. Big fish are jumping all over. I think they're salmon. Ivy and I are going to go find out here right when the program's over. We're going to wheel around, grab our boat, and put some hooks in the water and see how we do. But there's only about a month left. I mean, I guess not even that. 3 weeks left until Labor Day. So if you're going to get out and make some pure Michigan memories, now is the time to do it. Now is absolutely the time. And I don't know the last time, if ever, Somebody went live on the radio from the middle of a lake here in Michigan. But we wanted to do it here on the Steve Gruber Show. 17 stations strong in the Michigan Talk Network. You can join the conversation at 888-900-9966. Find out more at stevegruber.com. This part of the program brought to you by AmericanMetalRoof.com. Do it yourself. Save 50%. The last roof you're ever going to buy. It is an investment in the future of your home. AmericanMetalRoof.com. It's Free for All Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.
Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
It's a spectacular pure Michigan morning here on the Steve Gruber Show. Free for all Friday. My God, my friends, it is just wonderful. In fact, go to Facebook, the Steve Gruber Show. Ivy is putting up pictures right now of our cruise, our love boat cruise across Lake Charlevoix. We are live in the middle of the lake. We are on the Charlevoix County Sheriff's boat, one of four. At the wheel is Under Sheriff Chuck Vondra, giving us a tour and showing us some more of the wonders of Michigan in the summertime. Our next guest, familiar to the program, Ronna Romney McDaniel, the chair of the Michigan Republican Party. Ronna, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. I wish I were on the boat with you, though.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's not quite 9 o'clock, so we can't have an adult beverage yet. But, you know, soon. Soon, anyhow.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time, Ronna. Let's talk about the thing that, unfortunately, is getting the headlines all over the state, and that is this scandal with Todd Corser and Gamrat. It's just an absolute mess at this point. What do you make of it?
Well, first and foremost, my thoughts and many of the Republicans and just people in general I've talked to around the state are with the families of both Cindy Gamrat and Todd Corser, these children that have been affected, their spouses. It's very unfortunate, and no one wants to see any family suffer in such a public way, regardless of your politics. So that's the first thing. And then the second is there have definitely been bad choices made by both of them, and it needs to be investigated. And I'm glad that Speaker Cotter has taken such swift action.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I've called for both of these individuals to step down. Listen, when you're no longer effective, and you no longer have the trust of well, frankly, anyone. Not from your family and not to your constituents, isn't it just time to say, listen, bad choices, like you put it, Ronna, isn't it just time to say, all right, we need to go now and resign?
Well, Steve, their personal choices and their personal life are not at issue here. So let's go through what the issues are where they breached the taxpayers and the people they represented trust. They, first of all, put their staff in a position, and this is according to Todd's own recording. They put the staff in a position where they asked them to cover up their personal indiscretions. The staff is paid for by the taxpayer. They then purposely drafted an email to send to constituents to cover up their bad behavior, but it was deceptive, and they purposely tried to lie to their constituents. That is inexcusable. And third, especially with Representative Corser, there has been no accountability. There has not been a moment where he has said, I have done wrong, and taken responsibility. And we as Republicans, when we don't call our own out when they're wrong, we lose public trust.
I agree.
He needs to step down. I think he needs to step down. I think right now we need to look out for the voters in the 82nd District. They are not being represented right now. We have a person that is only concerned about representing himself, and we need to get back in the business of representing those people who need representation.
Well, and that's what bothers me, I think, most about this, Ronna, is the fact that, you know, Todd, maybe even more than Cindy, ran on the moral high ground of, you know, we're this and we're that and we're looking out for you and, you know, and taking this moral high ground that turned out to be a bunch of poppycock, frankly. And that's what offends me the deepest. If you're going to run on the moral high ground, you better occupy it. Because if not, you're going to get, first of all, it creates a lot of backlash from your opponents on the left, for sure. And let's be honest, Ronna, I think Republicans hold themselves to a higher standard as a general rule. So if we're going to hold ourselves to a higher standard, Todd, you can just drop the letter in the mailbox, your resignation letter, on your way out.
Well, that's exactly true. I run across people all across the state who have a pejorative view of politicians. And when we stand beside our own, when they're acting out of the best interest of the people they represent, they've put their staff, who are taxpayers, in a compromising position. They've tried to purposely deceive voters. We have to say that's wrong, and you should not be serving in that role anymore. And I would expect the Democrats to do the same with Hillary Clinton when she's not sharing her emails or putting classified information in her email server and not protecting the public interest. Those are the types of things we have to do, even when it's our own. And it's hard. It is hard. But it is the right thing to do because our overriding goal is to represent the people of the state of Michigan.
We're on the line with Ronna Romney McDaniel, the chair, recently elected chair of the Michigan Republican Party. First big, I guess, real big problem to deal with since you took that position to discuss. All right, before I let you go, Ronna, I have to ask. Donald Trump still leading the polls, number one in Michigan. Carly Fiorina in second place, interestingly enough. But what do you make of the polling on this day?
It's so early in the process. It is, what I will say is it's exciting. 24 million people watching that first debate and seeing our field of candidates, and everyone I've talked to has said they were so impressed with everyone on the stage. Donald Trump certainly had a great reception here in Michigan at Birch Run the other day, but we have an enormous talent in this field of all the different candidates. I'm so excited, and it's just the beginning. We've got a long way to go, huh?
Yeah, a long way to go, and it is exciting. I think that Rick Perry might fold out here soon. I think that Carly is the only one that's going to survive from that undercard debate. Boy, did she do a fabulous job, though, which is why she's suddenly picking up and polling 15% in the state of Michigan. A long way till to the March primary, but, you know, the March primary is it's a good move for the Michigan Republican Party, I think. It makes it valuable. It means Michigan voters will get a chance to see, you know, all of the candidates leading up to that event. I'll give you the last word.
Well, thanks for having me on. I agree. And, of course, we're going to have all these candidates in Mackinac, September 18th through the 20th. But Carly Fiorina will be one of them. Governor Bush, Governor Walker, Governor Kasich, and Senator Cruz, and, of course, our own governor. So go to www.mackinac2015.com and go register.
And good news. I'll be there with you, too, Ronna.
I know you will. We're excited.
There you have it, Ronna Romney McDaniel right here on the Steve Gruber Show. We will be at that event on Mackinac Island. The Steve Gruber Show bringing you all the top candidates live and in person. Don't miss that. Put it on your calendar for mid-September. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a free-for-all Friday. We'll be right back. We're headed to the end of the program now, and just on a slow cruise across Lake Charlevoix with Chuck Vonda, the undersheriff of Charlevoix County, at the wheel. Ivy looking at every fish that jumps with a gleam in her eye. And the thing I like about Lake Charlevoix, a lot of things I like, but from Boyne City or East Jordan or Charlevoix, you can go anywhere in the world because it connects to Lake Michigan, making it, you know, you can connect to Lake Michigan, connect to the St. Lawrence Seaway, and away you go anywhere in the world from right here in Michigan. And Chuck, that's one of the things you think is so special about this lake.
Boy, it is, and they do come, too. We're very fortunate we get to live here. But, you know, another point I'd like to make is the St. Mary's Cement Company in Charlevoix, they've got ports all over the Great Lakes, and they ship right out of Charlevoix. And they have 150 family-sustaining jobs. I know I'm talking a lot about this, but these are the folks that make it possible for us to live and work here. So we are ever grateful for those, and we like to promote those folks because they're community involved and just good, average, fun-loving people like you and Ivy.
Well, you know, and the thing that I like about the St. Mary's Cement Company is it's my point on the shore to know where the fish are biting out in Lake Michigan. So it's a reference point to me, and I've talked to a bunch of people over here at Honeywell. I was surprised to learn that Honeywell over here in Boyne City, been here for years and years, and they have about 100 hourly employees there making parts for NASA and all sorts of folks. I you know, and the people that listen there to the program, good morning to y'all as well, but it's just a spectacular area.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and the employment is huge. Lexmar does 800 people right here in town. I mean, it's phenomenal. And tourism, though, we shouldn't overlook that. Tourism is a big part of the industry and what we do up here. We get to meet a lot of nice folks that draws them, like you guys come here, for example. So, you know, we have a nice mix. It's a very nice mix, and it's a good balance.
And I couldn't say enough about it. It's been the most spectacular escape to our northern studios here in Boyne City. And I've got to tell you, it's just been an incredible an incredible 3 weeks up here so far in Boyne City. An incredible morning here on Lake Charlevoix. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, get out and enjoy something that Michigan has to offer, whether it's the Great Lakes. One of the 11,000 inland lakes would be a great place to go, or the rivers, or the beaches, or the woods. I mean, it's pure Michigan. It's a fantastic place, and I want to say thank you to everybody listening today. Thank you to Ivy, the executive producer, Rob Burkhardt, our associate producer, Alex Clark, the engineer in the basement there driving this train, and to Chuck Vondra, the undersheriff of Charlevoix County. Thanks for the love boat cruise across Lake Charlevoix on this Friday. Ivy, let's go fishing.
Let's do it.
Have a great weekend, everybody.